going to do one lesson on the question of why was Jesus resurrected. Now, if the text is from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm going to read it first, the whole section, 20 verses. 1 Corinthians 15, in answering the question, why was Jesus resurrected? Beginning of verse 1, he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, lest you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen by Cephas, then by the 12, and after that He was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that He was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then last of all He was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace toward me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is preached that He's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? If there's no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Verse 14. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith also is also empty. Yes, and we're found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He did not raise up. In fact, the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then also, those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. See, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. But now, Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Message of hope. So I just want to walk through this a little bit. You know, Paul thought the Corinthians no doubt required a reminder of the resurrection. We need that too every so often. You know, Paul had preached to them, he established the church there in Corinth, and they believed. He was well received. But evidently there were enough false teachers around that lived in the city and denied the resurrection. There might be many Greek philosophers that despised any such teaching. So Paul in his letter in this section says, let me tell you again about the resurrection. So in verses 1 and 2, I put in your notes, the resurrection was the content of Paul's message. It was the gospel. So he says, the gospel, good news, which I preach to you. So he says, I'm preaching a good news message. A gospel message. Which, now he reminds them, which you received. In other words, Paul says, remember, you embraced it as true at one time. You obeyed. You you became Christians, you received the good news message. It says, and that good news message is wherein you stand. So you're not standing on any Greek philosophy. You're not standing on something that's not proven for salvation. No. You're standing on the gospel. The gospel is what you stand on, but it's what by which you're saved. Well, that's Romans 10:17. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel, good news. Then he said, then that there's that conditional word. If you hold fast the word which I preached. Well, the other tonight's outline's on the chair in the middle there, right there where I'm looking. I'm sorry, I didn't get you an outline here. So he says, you hold fast that word. In other words, don't go after other philosophies. I'm going to give you the evidence again on why you should believe what you received that first time. In other words, then if you don't hold it fast, you believed in vain. See, to obey and not continue makes your faith vain. Your faith is not accomplishing its intended. Now, you held it true at one time. But if you give it up, then all that belief was for naught that time. Don't give up your Christianity for something else. For anything else. In verses 3 and 4, he says, yo, I delivered that which also I received. Paul said, this message is not of my origin. I'm giving you what I received. It was by inspiration. So he says, first of all, that Christ died for our sins. Well, the gospel tells that, doesn't it? John 19, verse 33, when they came to Jesus, they saw he was dead already, so they didn't break his legs. And when Peter stands in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 23, he says, him, meaning Jesus, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. No doubt, Jesus died. Can't dispute that either. And then the second thing, and that he was buried. Now that's recorded in the Gospel of Mark chapter 15. Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they come to Pilate and beg for the body of Jesus. Pilate said, after so many conversations, okay. So they take the body of Jesus down from the cross and they bury it in a tomb. In the tomb in Joseph of Arimathea's place. Yeah, new tomb. And then he says, so Christ died for our sins, was buried, and that he'd been raised the third day. Still going back to Acts chapter 2. Peter preached, this Jesus as God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. And it's all according to the Scriptures. Fundamental? Foundational? Yes. So the enemies that were denying this, Paul wants to prove them powerless. No, your arguments have no merit. You don't have the evidence against the resurrection. Paul presents the evidence for the resurrection. So that's in verses 5 through 8. And there are too many, as put in your note, too many witnesses to be deceived. Jesus appeared too many places. And he did that for 40 days after his resurrection. And then after 40 days, he ascended back to the Father. And then 10 days after that is the day of Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover. So I just listed in your notes all of those that are mentioned in the text that we just read and other places. So the women on resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene, another Mary was there, to Peter, to the two disciples, the 10 disciples when Thomas is absent. Then the 10 disciples and Thomas is present. Then there were 7 disciples by the Sea of Galilee, 11 disciples on the mountain in Galilee. There were above 500 at once, is in the text we just read. You know, and to James alone, to all the apostles, and Paul finally says, and to me. Too many witnesses. Proof of the resurrection. Now the question, Jesus, why were you resurrected?
Here's Paul's answer. Here's the consequences if there's no resurrection. There are seven of them that are listed in the text. First one, in verse 12, is the introduction. Paul said, now if Christ is a priest and he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? We're preaching a resurrected Christ. Some of you are saying there's no resurrection. So here's his answer. Verse 13. If there's no no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not? Christ is not risen. But Jesus was raised, and therefore Paul gives all the testimony, all the proof. You can't deny it. You're just covering your eyes and your ears to the message. It's just something you don't want to believe if you deny a resurrection. That's what Paul is saying. If the dead are not raised, then Jesus wasn't raised. But I proved that he was. See? So the resurrection is meaningless then. If our resurrection is an impossibility, it would be an impossibility if Jesus wasn't resurrected from the dead. If there's no resurrection, then Jesus just lived a great life. So Paul gives that as one of the arguments. So let me debate this with you. If the dead will not be raised, then Christ was not raised. That's the first one. Second, in verse 14, it says, then our preaching is vain. In other words, what we're saying is false. We're accomplishing nothing. We're just giving you mere words. Paul is saying, why am I spending time preaching? That just becomes a task or an employment. Why am I preaching if there's no resurrection? Why assemble if there's no resurrection? Consequences of saying there's no resurrection. Our assembly is just for friendship and fellowship. Comrades. We enjoy getting together. Oh, but there's a resurrection. Our preaching is vain if there's no resurrection. And then number 3 in verse 14, and your faith is vain. In other words, why are you listening to me? Why am I preaching and why are you listening if there's no resurrection? Why listen to the empty words? Your eternal hope is fruitless. That's his line of reasoning, his arguments. In verse 15, he said that we're found false witnesses of God. So Paul says our profession is false. The resurrected message is untrue, Paul says. So Paul says there's no middle ground in this. You can't hem-haw around. You can't just be vague about it. No, there was a resurrection. Paul said we're not false witnesses, but if there's no resurrection, then that's what we are. We're giving testimony to something that's not true. We're preaching a falsehood. And then that would be a great hoax on a lot of people if there's no resurrection. We're false witnesses. And then in number 5 and verse 17, and you're yet in your sins. Wait a minute, there's this resurrected message that Jesus died for our forgiveness of sins. Died, buried, was resurrected. For us. For others. So we don't get forgiveness. We don't get redemption. We don't get salvation. The purpose of Jesus going through a crucifixion would be meaningless. Empty. Vain. Jesus, why would you do all of that if your resurrection is not true and it wouldn't happen? Converting up to number 6 in verse 18. Then they also that have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. Interesting phrase. The great proposition that undergirds Christianity is that the saved will be raised forever to be with the Lord in a better place. In other words, those who have fallen asleep before us, meaning those who have died. I think, well, my parents. There's others from here that have gone. We just mentioned a passing this evening in our announcements. And if there's no resurrection, they're just gone. There's no hope. There's no reunion. It's just over. They just lived and perished. That's it. Is that all there is to life? Paul's answering, no, there's a resurrection. A resurrection. Number 7 and verse 19. If we have only hoped in Christ in this life, we are of all men most pitiable or miserable. In other words, it goes back again. If there's no resurrection, why are we going through all of these motions? Why are we assembling? Why do we sing the songs we do? Why do we pray if there's no resurrection? Eventually or eternally, we're not any better off for having believed a lie if there's no resurrection. There's no eternity. And we're to be pitied for believing such if there's no resurrection. Those who've died have just perished, and when we die, we will perish. No resurrection. But Paul says, if we've only hoped in this life only, no, there's an eternity. There's an eternity. So he closes in verse 20. But now, so after he's presented all these arguments, verse 20, but now Christ has been risen from the dead, the first fruits of them that are fallen asleep. Well, he was resurrected, then ascended to the Father. So where he is gone, we will go. That's what he said in John 14, didn't he? In the opening verses. And where I am, there you may be also. Oh, that's right. I'll come again. Receive you unto myself. That where I am, you will be also. That's his message. A resurrection. It was proven. Proven. So, you think about the historical fact that could have been produced what we see today, meaning Christianity, is based on the resurrection. Worldwide beliefs in a resurrection. It's not just us in a small corner of the land. There's worldwide belief and generational belief. It wasn't a hoax. So the resurrection, his resurrection means our resurrection. Though just as first sheaves of the harvest carried a pledge of that harvest, so the resurrection of Jesus carries a pledge of our resurrection. Okay. He's the first fruits. The first fruits. So where he is gone, we will go. Well, Jesus, why did you die? For all of these reasons, our forgiveness, our faith, our hope, our resurrection. That's why you were resurrected. Why were you resurrected for all of these reasons? We're going to sing a song. We call it a song of invitation, song of exhortation. Just knowing that there's no resurrection, you know, Amos said, prepare to meet your God. Thus and thus I will do unto you, O Israel, so prepare to meet your God. Preparation. There will be a resurrection. We need to make preparation. Have you heard that gospel message, good news message? Jesus died, was buried, and was resurrected. Believe it. Yes. Then repent of our sins. We turn our life around, turn it toward God. Yeah. Confess our faith that we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Yeah, let's do that. And then be baptized for remission of sins. Rise to walk in newness of life, as Paul said in Romans chapter 6. There will be a resurrection. There will be. So let's sing this song, number 912. We can stand as we sing, if you would. First and last stanzas. Need to respond in a public way. If that's your desire, you can do so when we're singing this song.
Okay? Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. troubled soul, the Savior can see every heartache and tear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is there.